Hello there, and welcome to the fourth annual Ready for the Right Guy Global Virtual Gathering. I'm your host, Michelle Marchant Johnson, and I'm so thrilled that you're here at the beginning of 2017 because you are in a place where you can create brand new possibilities for your life and your love life. And I'm so excited because I have partnered with some of my very favorite experts out there in the world who are going to be sharing with you some of their best wisdom, advice, and inspiration to help you have a life and a love that fills your heart with joy. So that's my vision and intention for this series, and I'm so honored that you are here with us. And I'm so excited about welcoming our guest today. She's a very lovely woman from the land down under, and I just love her and think her work is amazing, and I know you're going to love her too. And that's the lovely Aliki Karupas. Welcome, Aliki.
Thank you for having me, Michelle. Thank you so much for that introduction. Thank you.
Oh, so happy to have you. You're so darling, and I'm so thrilled that you're going to be a part of this event. So just for those of you that are not familiar with Aliki, I want to share a little bit about her with you. Aliki guides success-minded entrepreneurs, business professionals, and highly conscious spiritual seekers to align with the frequency of their divine soul blueprint to co-create abundance in all areas of their life so they can manifest quickly the lifestyle that they would love to live. Aliki guides you to repair and develop the spirit in order to heal and positively evolve the spirit and physical body so greatness and fulfillment of one's life mission can be realized. So I love what you stand for in the world, Aliki. And one thing that stood out as I read your introduction here is this divine soul blueprint, because I believe that we all do have a divine soul blueprint, and a part of that can be having the kind of love and relationship that you desire in your life. I believe that desire is there for a reason. So to get started today, I would love if you would tell us just a little bit more about yourself personally. And then also, I would love if you would expand a little bit on this idea of the divine soul blueprint.
Thanks for asking, Michelle. No, it's gorgeous to be here, and I am down under. I'm here across from the beaches here in the Sydney right now, which is great. So thank you for asking. So part of what I do, and thanks for the introduction, is I truly facilitate the emergence of people's true essence of who they are, so that, you know, if there's a spiritual situation or a mental situation or physical situation that needs to almost become that lesson in love and transcended to a degree through the soul-based level work we do, that's where the ultimate healing and evolutionary work occurs. Actually, that's our essence of who we are, and tapping and tuning into that is where we start to uncover and emerge our greatness, and so that fulfillment can be realized in the abundance that we have, you know, from being here in creation. So from through creation. So part of, well, my background, and I think this is going to sound quite interesting, but I have this right left brain thing going on and these polarities going on because I've always been in like an energy based person, a lot of energy, a lot of abundance. Whatever I touched, whatever I loved, whatever I was in tune with that gave me joy and fulfillment, I would pursue to a degree of certification, mastery, enjoyment, like on physical levels, on spiritual levels, and, you know, even mental levels, like in academia as well. So with all of the essence of all of that, I was became very good at finding my joy and contentment and tuning into what is that juiced me up, that charged me up, that has me enthusiastic, not just like optimistic or motivated, but inspired. And through, you know, various situations and circumstances, you kind of learn through life. So my background is quite interesting in that I have, you know, a corporate background of 23 years. And I truly, through mentoring and leading people, because I'm that heart-based entrepreneur or that person that truly loves to see people thrive and in their strengths, I've started to lead and mentor and manage and became a confidant to many people, like a trusted advisor, because whatever I teach or do or share, I do myself to the nth degree. That's the mastery thing, right? And this is the soul divine blueprint, and understanding what that is, almost like, what is my values? What are my values? What's highest on my vision and mission? And what can I do to facilitate that? Well, what's that path that I'm going to get there with? And that's part of what I do for myself and others. And it's usually through transition. It's through some health situation or some spiritual situation or some, you know, leader who's successful but unsatisfied because there's a sense of fulfillment lacking. So what I'm saying is what I do or who I am truly, I couldn't have written on a list as a goal of what I wanted to feel or what my abilities would be in this stage of my life so that I'm relevant to myself and others. So with that being said, the land of where I go is more about tapping into you and your essence and heightening your intuition so that you see abundance realized on all levels, environmentally, physically, mentally, and spiritually. And with that, you've got a full system that can support you to actually be exactly who you are. And that's what I talk about, you know, it's that the divine soul blueprint, because you are, you know, Michelle, and you listening, as you know, Michelle, especially you, everyone, you're very unique. You're here to do what you're here to do. There is no one like you. There is just you. And so if there's a support or a structure you need to evolve and bring more of that out, that's part of what I facilitate, because I'm all about empowering you. It gives me joy to see that happen for people. So I hope that explains it, but it's really how to help people spiritually and physically evolve so that the greatness and fulfillment can be realized in this modern, busy, dynamically changing, perceivably stressful type of modern society.
Yeah, really, it's all about having an amazing life and being able to live your life in a way where you attract the abundance of what's available to you out there in all different aspects of your life, including love. And so that's why we have as our theme for this conversation, how to attract more of who and what you love, right?
Well, it's all about doing what you love, being who and what you love, what would you love to be, do, and have. And when you said attracting abundance, well, you are abundance, you know, and when you're in that polarity, you can be, receiving of it, not wanting what you don't have, but live the life that you love. And if having a partner and your companion for the duration of that is high on your values, then absolutely, you know, attract that in. And part of what I do is help many women and men actually do that. It's quite beautiful to see, very fulfilling for them.
Yeah, I bet it is. I bet it is very fulfilling. And Aliki, from your perspective, and I know you work with a lot of different people from a lot of different backgrounds, but I'm just curious to know, from your point of view and from what you see with the wonderful people you work with, what do you think are some of the common challenges that block people from having love, deep love, or feeling that abundance in the world? Because I can tell you for sure that there are some women listening to this that are not resonating with this theme of abundance, right? I mean, I've been in that place myself. So yeah. I see that with so much compassion. I have been in a place where it felt like rather than abundance, there was scarcity.
Yep. 1,000%. First thing I want to say before I share precisely what I see, the absolute essence and common thread of what is holding people back, relatively speaking, or you want to call it a block, or holding people back, or not showing up in the physical, tangible form of the love or partner of your life. Okay. The first thing is, what vibration are you emanating within and so without? Love FM, co-creation FM or frequency versus anything but. And it's like, well, easier said than done. You know, I've got a mental thing. I've been heartbroken or betrayed. I get that. So now I'm going to go into duality of the universe where there's love, there's hate, where there's nice, there's mean, where there's support, there's challenge. the equal and opposite reaction. So that's a bit of the science conversation, because when you neutralize cause and effect, you birth light and love. Love making, love, birth, creation. It's the highest form of frequency. So if you just sit with that for a moment, for you listening out there, part of what I, when I talk, if you're particularly sensitive and aware, you'll feel it from me. There's love versus anything but. And I know Einstein's also quoted something to the degree of, you can't create the reality from, you know, that you really want and desire unless you're actually within that reality. And this isn't just about visualization, feeling sense and abundance. So now let's go to, that's the essence of it. What is holding people back that I see the most? There's two main traits I'm going to label, and I think this will resonate with a few. Fear. It's like false evidence appearing real. The future, imagine fear. The future will come soon enough. Our energy, attention, awareness will be into the future versus here, where we actually have only here and now, so we can create from now or receive from now. Secondly is guilt. And as a woman in particular, if you're listening, and, you know, I'm 40. I've, you know, had many years, you know, in work and relationships, married. I have been separated, divorced, now in a new partnership. But when you look at the guilt and that co-creation energy and your support as a woman, you know, in the yoni co-creation area where there's over 3,000 nerves, you know, and I can create, I've had a baby. I mean, how did that happen? I just looked after the vessel. Point I'm saying is guilt. What's holding us back in the past, and what is from the past we bring into the present? And I'm not saying leave it in the past, leave the future in the future. I'm saying there's lessons in love. When we see how the guilt serving us, or the fear serving us, it no longer becomes something nebulous that we're feeling. It becomes something tangible that the brain can fix on to resolve and solve and love as a lesson in love to transcend to the next level of growth. So the two things to net out is usually fear and guilt. It's distracting people versus bringing them into their core and their center to create the love and be, do and have the life that they love to live more of. And there's several ways to actually process this in part of the, you know, the serving and the help and the work that I guide. So that's the two main things. Now, the other essence that I will say will increase your vibration and frequency. And I'm not saying get elated and high, and I can do this. No, what goes up goes down. I'm talking about that calmness, that surrender, that essence, that sweetness, that soul, that's you, that blissful nature, that joy, that's you. That comes through gratitude, an attitude of gratitude, or being grateful for what is as it is. Because when, you know, the love sort of outweighs the shadow, so to speak. So when you can count your blessings for the gifts or what you're learning or the blessings you're giving to others, or find that within yourself, your vibration increases. And metaphorically speaking and energetically speaking, what you're saying to the creation or the grand organized design that brought you in your divine beingness here for a reason is you're giving your time and space to your creator and yourself and your essence. There's more abundance right there. And when you practice that, this isn't, oh, I've done my abundance lesson. You know, I've got a list of 20 things I'm grateful for today. Right, where's my miracle? I'm saying cultivate, create, where the energy goes, the energy flows. You know, yoga, drishti. Those are the two things, plus coupled with gratitude. Mate, that is a formula. And you can feel it. I'm like, abundance. Love, self-love, a loop of self-validation. Because when you love yourself or self-validate and know how to really reel that back into you, you can be more to everyone else. I'm not going to, well, the oxygen, you know, and the airplane, you know, if you give yourself oxygen and love, you've got more to share, not necessarily give and deplete of yourself, but share. You can give to those that you love from a place of abundance. So I hope that help structurally sort of explain the process in clear English and a little bit energetic for those who are quite sensitive or would resonate with those messages.
Yeah, thank you for that, Aliki. A couple of thoughts that I'd like to just piggyback on, if that would be okay.
Absolutely.
When you were talking about fear and you were talking about guilt, I think those are two huge things that show up. Now, of course, I always teach this concept that I think there are three big F words that can get in the way of love: fears, fantasies, and falsehoods. We won't go into that right now, but I think it connects into what you're talking about in terms of fears. And when I think about fears, I think typically fears are centered in us projecting into the future something we think might happen. And when we talk about guilt, we're typically focused on something that has happened in the past that for some reason we have guilt around, or we've built a story around. And so what stood out for me as you were talking about that is both of those things are blocks to us being able to be fully present in the moment and to appreciate what is right now. And then that ties in with your thought about gratitude. And one of the reasons that I think, you know, we hear a lot of talk about gratitude and that it's a very powerful spiritual principle. And I believe that it is, but I've questioned, and why is that such a powerful spiritual principle? And one of the things I believe is that as we acknowledge and are grateful for what is already present, we are actually expanding our own capacity to receive even more abundance in whatever form it shows up in. And when we're not in a place of gratitude, it's like we're withdrawing within to ourselves, we're focusing on the lack, and we're likely to get more of that, right? Would you agree with me?
1,000%. And as you're speaking this, Michelle, and because I'm, you know, an energetic worker, I can completely see and hear and feel the tune of that you're talking about. So 1,000%. If we're in expansion, in wonder, in receivership mode and in abundance, our heart's open, it's blowing up. Our heart can really receive. That's what it's here for, to nurture and love. And that heart, that energy is almost at the center, like, of our body energetically too. So it beams. And, you know, whoever we can catch in the wake, it's that. But if we're shutting off the heart, closing off, contracting, shutting down our expressive in the guilt from the past, we're not open. I get it. There's a vulnerability with doing that too. But when you're on your own, when you've got time to practice and cultivate those self-awareness and growth and self-love practices, so much more can come for you. And when you said, Michelle, too, is when you're here and now and grateful for what is here and now, said nobody ever that they really want to feel like crap FM or bad, you know. And when we're in what I would say cortisol reset mode, or, you know, almost juicing or an orgasmic type of feeling, or something that really tunes us into our joy, you know, because our values are different. And you said projecting. I also talk about the concept of injecting. When we inject other people's values or other people's, what they say is right and it's their way or the highway, and if we don't do what they want, we're injecting their values. It's actually harming us because we're not honoring our true values and our essence. So we find that through being grateful. So the expansion is what actually creates the magnet for you to attract versus contraction and, in a way, repel. And then there's the element of gratitude and that self-trust too. You learn to really trust yourself. And I know that if you're a woman listening to this right now, you know, that little whisper that talks to you or that intuition that comes in, trust it. That sixth sense that you are wired to have, whether you've had a child or not, is something that you want to tune in and really listen and trust and learn to cultivate that, because that's your guiding light right there. And so being in your present, being in your heart, being in your center enables you to receive that and awaken that. And I love that description that you said, Michelle. I think it's spot on. And I love the three Fs that you have. I think it's fabulous, because there's also fantasies. And some fantasies may actually have that, like I said, nice with mean, elation with depression. There's a fantasy that's actually not sustainable. Because when we project also some sort of thing on some poor guy or some woman that we expect them to be all the time, no matter what they've done or not done, they're worthy of love, as are you. And it's difficult to say, right, you've got to be perfect, do this, look like this, act like this all the time. What, for me? You're you. I'm me. What are our values? Let's align our values, link, intertwine and relate and innovate, you know, and move forward, onwards and upwards. So anyway, that kind of went to the next level, but I love that you have that, and I think our values are really aligned, Michelle, and hopefully that will come across to you listening, you know, as some hope and vision for yourself.
Yeah, one other thing I would love to ask you about that is also kind of a buzz term out there, and that's the concept of self-love. So we always hear that in order to really be ready to fully give and receive love, that we have to have that experience of self-love. And it sounds like a reasonable thing when I say that. But I would like to go a little deeper and ask from your perspective, what exactly is self-love and what are some potential practices that we can put in place that can help us strengthen our self-love? Because I do believe as women as a whole, and I know I'm speaking in general terms here, we're very hard on ourselves. We don't always offer ourselves the compassion, kindness, forgiveness that we might offer to other people. And we're always, that's where we get stuck in the guilt, in part. And that's part of why we get stuck in fear, because we don't trust ourselves. We don't feel that confidence about who we are, and we're not fully centered in that self-love. And I think this is a tough one for so many women. So I know I went off on a bit of a tangent. So my question then was, if you can tell us a little bit more about what your definition or vision of self-love is and some practices we might be able to use to get there.
Thank you for asking. Because you said it and I'm going into that zone, I can't talk. let me paint maybe a vision of what unconditional love is to the degree that I can share it from my own experience. Firstly, if we start to square zero, like the baseline zero sort of level, I'd love to encourage you to almost in a way as a listener and to answer your question, Michelle, is what's important to you? What do you love? Like truly love? What puts a smile on your face? Everyone has at least one thing. What puts even more of a smile on your face? Who puts a smile on your face? What puts a smile on your heart and face? Nature, animal. You might see my little bichons walking around here. I've got two little white fluffy ones. But what puts you in a state of some sense of love, kindness and nurture, even if it's a memory from the past or a color or a trip or something that evokes that for you, like a beautiful place or a beach or having your feet on earth or something you're truly grateful for. You find that one thing and then you find another one and then you find another one and you go till you have a tear of gratitude. And when you find that, your heart starts to open. You're safe because you're on your own. You're safe because you've locked the door, you've gone into your office, or you're sitting on the beach on your own, or you're going on a walk. You're usually doing this on your own, just so you know. So self-love is really the ability, I'd say, to tap into your full presence, awareness, and joy and contentment to the degree that the noise and the chatter comes down, like you're almost transcending, and you're in your heart. You sometimes, if you're in meditation, you're in your head, but you truly almost just love for what is as it is. So there's a knowing without knowing. That's unconditional love. And it's not about, oh, self-love, I must please myself, be selfish for myself, love myself, do what makes me happy and screw everybody else. No. Now I'm going to go into the next level, which is values. Okay, so that's a simple gratitude or self-love exercise, relatively speaking, okay? I don't want to use the word love because it's thrown around everywhere. One, the precursor fundamental belief that I'd love you to know and start to instill and believe is that you are worthy, no matter what you've done or not done, of love. I'll say it again. No matter what you've done or not done, you are worthy of love. And I've seen it time and time again. Breakthrough, emotional release, miraculous healing. I've seen it thousands of times. So that's that. Now I'm going to go into a little talky-talky about the construct of doing that. If you are clear on what you want to be, do, and have for your vision for you, that's great. And if you want to just improve on and build that and cultivate more of that, brilliant. You're already on that path. You're successful or unsatisfied, and you've got all the wiring. You know what juices you up. If you come back down to basics, what is high on your values? What do you think and think about? What would you jump out of bed and do for free if you had all the time and money in the world to do it? What would that be? Where are you organized? Where do you have organization? What is in your immediate environment? Kids stuff, you know, Transformers, yoga blocks, you know, a yoga mat, spiritual devas and devadas, nature, trees, plants. What is in your immediate environment that's usually going to indicate to your values on what juices you up and what you like around you? And the other thing is, as you start to formulate the top four or five values in your life, you typically have the most mastery in the top four. If relationships, family, and love is not in that top four, it's really not going to be a priority. And I say that lovingly. This is about love, self-love, and doing what you love. Because when you do what you love, even if there's stuff like taking the trash out or getting up and getting on the commute to work an hour and a half or two a day, when you start to link what you love and how it serves your highest values, or when you link what you're doing serving your highest values, you can't but not see love everywhere. And I say that. It's like, oh, easier said than done. You know, you look pretty healthy. You've got all this energy and you're teaching this stuff. I do this stuff. You know, I know what betrayal, abandonment is. I know what it is to have your heart trampled on and hurt. But I know what it is to build back up and recultivate and be safe in my vulnerability and know without knowing that I'm safe and protected no matter what. So backing up, love, it's a very tough thing to define. Only you know what that is when you feel connected, forgiveness, or connected, your heart's blown up, your energy size and body and your heart is like 1,000% bigger than what it normally is when you're juicing it up. So when you know what your values are, you commit to yourself and don't let yourself down. Practice. It's a practice. You know, like you said, women, you know, we can self-deprecate, not be good enough, this and that. I get it. But what if you were good enough? What does that look like? You know, what if you were able to do what you want to be, do and have? What if? Ask the opposite question. It'll be a question in wonder expansion versus a question in asserting what you think and know you are. I mean, God, grand organized design, source, spirit, someone or some collective has you here, right here and now, and your job is to find what that is. So I would say that there's a couple of exercises to do, and that one, you can even tap your heart. You know, if you're a writer, tap your heart, get into here. What do you love? What does that for you? Keep building it up and then write whatever comes out, you know, and cultivate that. It's a practice. Oh, I don't have time for that. Okay. Yeah. Well, you've always done what you've always got. Yeah.
That was really beautiful, Aliki, and I know I asked you a really big question.
It's a big question, but I tickled a few senses energetically, if you're feeling it from me, written word, putting the brain to rest. But I hope that answered a few questions and some of you felt it from me.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I know we did. And I just wanted to say, as you were speaking, it reminded me of something that John Gray said in one of the interviews that I had with him. He was talking about vulnerability. And I think self-love is tied into vulnerability in the sense that in order to be fully authentic, we have to love ourselves enough to believe that we're okay, that we are able to put our real and authentic selves out there in the world. And that requires a certain amount of vulnerability for us to do that. And when he talked about vulnerability, he said something that I thought was really profound, and it just came to mind as you were speaking. And that was that when we think of vulnerability, often we think of, you know, that showing our imperfections or our weaknesses or our failures or our mistakes, or letting someone know kind of that less flattering side of ourselves, what we might consider to be less flattering, whether it is or not. But he said something really important, and I loved this when he said this. He said, it's also about being able to fully express your hopes and your dreams and your joys and the things that really light you up and the things that your big, big, big dreams and your big visions for your life. And so as you were speaking about self-love, and you were talking about all of the things that you could do or the things that you most deeply loved, I think being more deeply in touch with that allows you to be more authentic and more vulnerable, because you're showing a bigger, broader version of yourself to the world. You're going to show up differently in the world. I hope those dots kind of connected as I said that.
That totally did. And I love that you said that. And actually, there's a really, when you said that, I feel guided. Well, one, your pot plant shifted. Just the flowers did these ones, like, before talking this. But so one question I'd also love to offer for anyone who wants to dig into a little bit about, okay, well, there was this incident, someone did this to me. That incident, someone did that to me. It's usually someone. Or I did that to me, which is usually the bad stuff we remember, right? Mm-hmm. Sometimes there's the good stuff too, and often you want that to be, but let's say it's the bad stuff. Label it with a trait on how it made you feel, because it's a trait that was your feeling, not the other person's feeling, your feeling that was triggered. If you label that trait, then ask yourself the question, okay, what's the opposite? Like, okay, we've put it on paper. It's out of the body. It's into the paper. What's the opposite trait to that trait? I'll ask the question again. What's the opposite trait to that trait? So let's say, well, someone abandoned me, or they walked out on me. You write down what that did feel. They, you know, made me feel abandoned. Okay. You look at what's the opposite to abandonment, or support, or praise, or someone there for you, present for you. Then you go back into that moment in time, because it's usually in the past, right? Unless you want to create a lot of mess in the future that hasn't even come yet. I mean, yeah, let's not go there, because that's misusing your power, or anxious energy that could be creatively used. If you look at who, what person, place, or thing was actually showing you love, praise, and support, or there for you, local to you or non-local to you. Could be a deceased grandparent, could be that vision you had on the beach, could be the connection with you and your child, or connection with you and your sister or partner, or someone that you know, that feeling of someone really truly being there for you at that moment. The first person, place, or thing that comes to mind starts to balance out, and you start to see the universe working in its divine order. Make no mistake, what you've done or not done, you are worthy of love. There's a duality, and it's our wisdom and love that we cultivate, create here, and then we take that with us. Because all this stuff, you know, transformers, cell phones, none of that goes with us. So it's really wise to ask that question. And there's invulnerability in that, but there's also immense power. And when you start to see that more time and time again, you start to think differently. You start to see awareness, abundance, lessons in love. Oh, I know what that is. Or I expected this in this way. Well, why? Why don't you remain open? If you were desirous of this, be open to the way of universe showing it to you, you know? So hopefully that also added some value to what you just said, Michelle, because what you said is really, really quite special. So thank you.
Yeah, thank you. And I do love this mantra that you have shared with us. No matter what you have done or have not done, you are worthy of love, because our feeling of unworthiness can be one of the biggest blocks that can prevent us from being available and open to giving and receiving love. So that was really beautiful. And I also loved what you just shared about if you have felt let down or heartbroken or disappointed or had an emotion that has made you feel very sad or broken your heart, to look for evidence of the opposite of that in your life. I think that's a really beautiful thing, because there is always evidence of that in our lives if we're looking for it. Always, right?
And the talk always, like, oh, I'm always this, that's actually a falsity, because you can't always be that. But that is a statement of always. In perpetuity, I can assure you, that having worked with thousands of people, when you find that and you be that, whoa, you just start to see a whole new world.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to sing that Disney princess song, wasn't I? That's funny. I don't even have a daughter.
I feel like you'd like to break into song. That's fine.
Oh my God. that's really now one other exercise I feel guided to share with you. This is kind of like, oh, that's boring. It's like, no, actually, it's really exciting. Get really excited about this one. If you're clear on your values or what's important to you, just write those down. Then if you're desirous of the most magnificent relationship, partnership in your current partnership or in attracting one, because make no mistake, there is someone at least within a 5 to 10 year age range who's searching for you too, like assured, guaranteed. I scan any people, life partners, the number, have they met them, who have they crossed paths with, are they in their orbit, like I can scan in time, like it's phenomenal. And they're like, oh yes, actually, you know, the sooner you can believe, you can receive. So if you write down at least, I'm going to say 100, but you really got to get excited and go to 300 plus. Where the energy goes, the energy flows. Drishti focus, one thing. If you can see, ask yourself the question, how does being in a relationship serve my highest values or what's important to me? If you can see how it links in alignment with your life, watch what happens.
I think that means that it's time for us to wrap up, but I do love what you just shared, that if you can get how a list all of those reasons, potentially hundreds of reasons why being in a divine partnership would serve your highest purpose and your values, that could be an incredibly profound exercise. So no, to me, that doesn't sound boring at all. In fact, it kind of gave me the
goosebumps. I'm very excited about it. Why would you not magnetize if you're in the energy? Bring it in and, you know, be true to your values and understand people have theirs, and you can hold that space and just love and adore self and others no matter what.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Beautiful. So since your son has given us the cue that it's divine time for us to wrap up, I wonder if you would be so sweet, Aliki, to share with us a little bit about your free gift, which I think is going to be very valuable, because I know we've just come off a very stressful and intense holiday season. Some of you are staggering into the new year. I know I often feel like I am. And this is the Turn Your Stress and Burnout into Success, right?
Yes. So thank you for asking. And part of some of the tools and what we spoke about before about finding your place of poise and presence. Well, I didn't use the word poise, but your own self-power. Out of the fear, out of the guilt, there's a guided meditation that will show you how to do that.
Ooh, yummy.
8 minutes long. I'm transmitting some of my transcendent-based, you know, energy and soul work. So you can feel that. And then you get good at doing it. Then you can actualize it in 1 second, 2 seconds, instantly, and cultivate
nine
that.
9 seconds.
9 seconds, he says. Okay. So that's the first thing. Let's get...
0 seconds.
Perfect. Then there's a couple of high quality questions. That's kind of a little value determination guide that you've got in there. And then ultimately, when your mind's at ease, you know, you give the brain one thing to do and breathe, you're in your heart, you're in your presence, that's when to strike while the iron's hot. And free write, you know, soul's inspiration guide, where to from here. You know, you might want to ask for the highest and best you know, option to receive and meet or recognize your potential partner. Guess what? It may happen next week. It may happen next month. If you're listening to this event that Michelle so beautifully put together with everyone, it's very, it could happen before you know it.
Yeah.
So,
faster.
Okay, so
absolutely.
So, three things: guided meditation, highest values, linking your values, and actually a soul's inspiration guide, and that will help you reset. And I've had people come and tell me, even in the workplace, they're like, you know, there's this one colleague that, you know, kind of butting heads. I did your meditation for 5 days in a row in the morning. The whole relationship shifted.
Yeah,
and that you can start small. You don't have to go, oh, I've got to bring the knight in shining armor or the big partner or the lady of my, you know, dreams. It's like, just start small things, you know, start small. Relationship to self, relationship to others, relationship to kids, to animals, to nature. Build it up.
Yeah. Thank you, Aliki. That sounds lovely. And for all of you that are listening, you can get access to her wonderful free gift by clicking on the link right below the video or audio that you're listening to this. And I know you're going to want to stay connected with Aliki because we've just barely scratched the surface of what she has to share. And as you can see, she's a beautiful, warm, lovely human being with so much to offer, so much wisdom. So I want to thank you, Aliki, for sharing so generously from your heart and for your joyful spirit and the presence that you've brought to this event. And I also want to give you a chance to just leave us with a little parting thought.
Just really love yourself more than anybody. Do what it takes to really commit to yourself. Nurture yourself, love yourself, be kind to yourself, be compassionate to yourself. They're all very the healing part of the soul. Like when you say the I am, the I is the knowledge of power, the masculine. The am is the receiving and the Shakti. Just really love yourself more than anybody. That's my parting thought. And thank you so much for being so gracious and having me on this event that you've put together for everybody. So hopefully you'll all just enjoy and love the juicy information, and definitely keep in touch if I might be of service or help to anybody. I look forward to hearing from you. Thank you again, Michelle. Always beautiful to see you.
Oh, thank you so much, Aliki. I've enjoyed having you. And besides picking up Aliki's free gift, be sure to scroll down and check out the VIP packages. We have both a gold and a platinum package, both which include all of the audio and video recordings, and then some wonderful, delicious bonuses to help you to move forward in this area of your life and to invite and inspire and ignite love and passion with your Mr. Right. So I thank all of you for being here with us. And Aliki, lots of love to you, my friend, from clear on the other side of the world. And thank you so much for joining us. Bye-bye for now.